Shalom! Today is a very special day unto Yahweh. It is the feast or day of atonement. And we are keeping this unto Yahweh, not unto ourselves. We're not eating or drinking, and it started before sunset, the night before, as we began that fast. What a wonderful time to get freedom and to get free from the yoke of bondage. Going to the Word today, to Matityahu chapter 6. That's Matthew chapter 6. Messiah is speaking here in chapter 6, verse 16, and giving us the instructions on the way to fast. Chapter 6, verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Matthew chapter 9 now. Let's go up to Matthew chapter 9 next. Then came to him the disciples of John, or Yochanan, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not?" And Messiah said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." And there's a parallel reading of that that we'll get to in Mark. Then in Matthew 26, verse 28, "Now he that betrayeth him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." So there, Judas speaking of the Messiah, that he was ready to be sacrificed for the sins of all mankind, that is, those who would repent and be in a spirit of humbleness, that the Messiah would come in and release them from all the past transgressions of the law, all the iniquities that they have committed will be forgiven. By this one-time sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb will be shed for their sins. Praise Yahweh. We could read all day in Hebrews chapter 9, and so much is written about that offering for our sins. But right now we want to stay here in Matthew. We want to leave Matthew and go next to Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, verse 18. Now, it's all about fasting. Chapter 2, verse 20, "And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?" So let's see that one there in the book of Mark. I'm going to turn to the Tree of Life version for this particular scripture, this passage of scripture here, as they say. And hope you're enjoying the blessing that it comes from fasting, even the physical benefits of fasting. Some even fasted twice a week, like the hypocritical Pharisee. He even fasted twice a week. I think some of us are more like twice a year. But praise Yah if you have the time for it, and you have the conviction, you have Yahweh's commandment to go ahead and fast, especially here on the Fast of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. So fasting in his presence is this paragraph in Mark 2. Now John's emissaries or disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. They came and said to him, "Why do the emissaries of Yochanan or John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Messiah said to them, "The guests of the bridegroom cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth in an old garment, otherwise the patch pulls away from the old, and a worse tear happens. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, also the skins, but one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." And then in the next paragraph, talking about the Shabbat restoration It happened on Shabbat that Messiah was going through the grain fields. His emissaries began to make their way, plucking the heads of grain. You know, this could even be a field. It could have been a field. It wasn't, but it could have been a forest that they were walking through. You can actually walk through a forest for a mile or so on the Sabbath day and be free. But anyway, the point here was that they were not harvesting grain on the Sabbath day. They were simply plucking off the heads of grain there and getting a little bit to stave off their hunger on that day. How we appreciate the great food and the great feasts that Yahweh has provided for us from the trees, even from animals. And some do not believe in eating animals at all. They are strict vegetarians. Better for your health that way, right? I say, yes, righto. But for those who and drink all the wonderful beverages that Yahweh has created, I think of that bottle of water sitting on the floor during the fast day, and I think, oh, that water is so wonderful. Think of all the millions of gallons of water that flow in high mountain places, over waterfalls and into huge pools and lakes, rivers and streams of all kinds. We are so blessed. We have a great blessing in the blessings that Yahweh has provided for us, even physically, to enjoy that or to enjoy wine. But back to the scriptures now, and we are reading from Mark there, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and they shall fast in those days. Then in Luke, it is a parallel passage there, Luke 5:35, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. The account of the Pharisee, he said he fasts twice in the week, and I give tithes to all that I possess. And then the very end of that passage, Messiah said, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So it's all about humility. Paul was keeping the feast many years after Messiah had died for our sins on the tree at Calvary, many years after he had wept great tears, even of blood, and in the agony in the garden as well. Years and years after that, Paul was still keeping, and others, many others, keeping the Feast of Atonement, as we do today. For it actually typifies Satan being locked up for 1,000 years, the Azazel goat represented in Leviticus. But here I'm taking you way away here from Paul's going sailing. Here he was a captured captive. Acts 27, verse 9. It says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past. So that's, there were several fasts, but this very likely could have been the Fast of Atonement. The fast was already past, and so Paul admonished them. And then in verse 41 of Maasa chapter, or Acts chapter 27, falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Thank Yahweh that one on the ship was so humble that he fasted, even as Jonah in the belly of the great fish. Well, we have that type in the book of Jonah. But right now I want to move on, though, in the Brit Kaddishah in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where it is written, 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch you stand fast in the faith, quit you like men and be strong. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in Galatians chapter 5. In the liberty wherewith Messiah has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, the yoke of bondage is certainly where a lot of us were, but we were freed from that place where we were in captive. We were in chains. We were, as it were, a captured prisoner on the ship and being restrained. And that very well could be physically, but spiritually, we are free in Messiah. For he has given us his unmerited favor, commonly called grace, to be set free from the, and given us his Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit, some commonly called the Holy Spirit, but we don't use that here. The Ruach HaKadosh has been given, and therefore, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created into Messiah unto good works. That's Ephesians chapter 2:10. It is the work of the Spirit in our lives that causes us to walk in such liberty, such freedom, and not to be entangled in the yoke of bondage. And the very opposite of what we need to be in our position in Messiah is standing by His righteousness, not by our own righteousness or works, lest anyone should boast. Then Galatians actually says there in the first chapter, in the fifth chapter, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Messiah has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Or the letter of Paul to the Philippians in chapter 1. "Let your manner or your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Messiah, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. "Now if we live, if we stand fast," now we live, rather, the imperative, "we live if we stand fast in Yahweh." And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, or, see, 5 verse 21, I guess this is. Yes, Thessalonians 5:21. "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." In Titus, Paul admonishes them and makes this statement here as well in chapter 1, verse 9. Here on this program, all about the fast that we are doing annually that happens in autumn, right before the feast, right after trumpets and before the Feast of Tabernacles, on the 10th day of the scriptural 7th month. Titus 1, 9. "Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he, or the believer, may be able to live by sound doctrine." Let's read this again here. "Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Then over to Hebrews, we keep turning right here in the pages, working toward the book of the Revelation, which would be a mighty revelation, as the word of Yahweh goes down deep into our spirits today. The Yahweh, the Messiah, is the word. We see in Isaiah, in Yeshayahu or Isaiah, we see Yahweh is the word. And we see in the beginning was the word. In Genesis, and also in John, and 1 John chapter 1. But Hebrews 4:14, "Seeing then that we have such a great high priest," that is Messiah, "that has passed into the heavens, Messiah, the Son of Elohim, let us hold fast to our profession." Then the 10th chapter, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Holding fast in Messiah. Okay, now, let's see, we have some quote, we did have some quotes here, I thought, from James and 1 Peter. We had one from 1 Peter, but anyway, okay, that'll be later then, possibly. Possibly we'll be reading from the book of James later, one of my favorites there in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 2 then, for three different verses, where the word fast was mentioned here in chapter 2 verse 13, "Holding fast to the name of Yahweh." In chapter 2, 25, "Holding fast till I come." And in chapter 3 verse 11, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So, even though it's not referring to abstaining from food and water, I want to connect that with our walk in Messiah, walking and holding fast to our profession, holding fast to that which is good, standing fast in Yahweh, standing fast in the faith, and quit you like men being strong. "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." So, those holding fast to the name of Yahweh. Not that we put down others who use other variations or corruptions of the name or common names of Yahweh, like the G-O-D or L-O-R-D, but we don't hold them in derision or contempt or anything for that. For we used, probably most of us used the names Lord and Adonai years before we came into a deeper understanding in studying the word of Yahweh. So he said in chapter 3, Messiah is speaking in chapter 3, verse 11, here we go now. And he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." As he said, that no man could pull us out of our place in Messiah, that we are saved in him, eternally secure, if we persevere to the very end. And then the scripture I wanted to talk about there is, for a moment, was in Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. And the people of Nineveh repented. Oh, they were such heathens. They were even dirtier heathens than most of those today in this world, and even sometimes, sadly, in the Christian world, even amongst all the true believers now and then. I think we've all fallen one time or another, got into extreme unbelief in one way or another. So it says in Jonah 3:5, so the people of Nineveh believed Elohim, they believed Yahweh, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And then I want to check on Ezra or Nehemiah to see if there was a fast at that point. So we're going to take a quick pause here. And this is the original website, YahvehNotYahweh.com. And you can send an email to StephanYah@YahvehYahweh.name. So we're going to the book of Ezra, chapter 8. And verse 17. And he said, I sent them with commandment unto Edo, the chief of the place of Casathiah, and I told them that they should say unto Edo and to his brethren of the Nethinims, at the place of Casathiah, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of Yahweh, and by the good hand of Yahweh upon us, or Elohim upon us, that they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Mali, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah, with his sons and his brethren, and 18, and then down to 20, and also the Nethinims whom David and his princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict or humble ourselves, or fast from food or water, that we might afflict ourselves before our Yahweh to seek of him a right way for us, for our little ones, and for all of our substance. I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of Yahweh is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our Elohim for this, and he was entreated for us. So there's a passage from chapter 8 of Ezra, then in chapter 9 of Nehemiah, the next book in the scriptures. And in verse 1, chapter 9, verse 1, now on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloth and earth upon them. This is one of the fasts of the seventh month, 2 days after that last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the fast, the second fast of the month. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in the place and read in the book of Yahweh in the Torah 1/4 part of the day. 1/4 part they confessed their sins. That's where we get this self-introspection during the Feast of Passover, the Yahweh's memorial service, of having, you know, going all through the Torah and thinking about, am I transgressing against this law or maybe that one? So we have a greater time. I can't think of the word introspective, I guess, to be introspective about ourselves and to analyze ourselves or judge ourselves whether we have transgressed against Yahweh's law of love. So they confessed. They actually confessed to one another there, and not to just a priest. They confessed to everyone, and they worshipped Yahweh their Elohim. Verse 6, the last part of verse 5, and they said, stand up and bless Yahweh Elohim forever and ever, and blessed be thy splendid name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Then even thou art Yahweh alone. That should be Yahweh, not Lord. Thou art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the sea and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship or praiseth thee. Thou art Yahweh thy Elohim, which chose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham. Verse 13, now skipping down here. We better read 12 there. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, true laws, good statutes and commandments. That we could, go back again someday and review soon in Exodus 19, beginning there with that part of the Torah, and made known unto them the pure Sabbath and commandments, thy precepts, statutes, and judgments, by the hand of Moses thy servant. And actually, and there it says, by the hand of Yahweh in Exodus chapter 20, in Shemot chapter 20. So we had Nehemiah chapter 9 in this particular passage. Now I want to, one moment while I make an entry here for you. Nehemiah 9, fasting. Okay, a little note there. I want to go to, we already did about the Acts 27, the centurion found a ship of Alexandrians sailing into Italy. And Paul said there in chapter 27, just reviewing this, that Paul was still keeping atonement, keeping the Feast of Atonement. And he put us therein, and when we came over slowly many days and sailed, scarce were come over us against Cnidus, C-N-I-D-U-S, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasea. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And Paul never spoke against the Torah, the law of Moses, the law of Yahweh. If we went back today, we could read Leviticus 16 about the Feast of Atonement concerning the Azazel, or escape goat, in chapter 16, in Vayikra 16, verses 10 to 15 and 21 to 34, but we'll do that. And we have done that earlier at other times. Therefore, the Day of Atonement, many years after Messiah died in Calvary's tree, Paul kept the feasts of atonement. And so we should follow in his steps. He said, follow me as I follow Messiah. Messiah kept the feast days, did not break anything. He was not a lawbreaker. He wouldn't have been the sinless Lamb of Yahweh if he had broken any of the laws, including pretty quick, we're going to go back to Mark 3 there about, I've even heard Dr. Fibber on the radio say that Messiah broke the Sabbath when the emissaries or apostles were breaking the heads of grain. We'll clarify that. We'll actually correct that and read that in a moment here. It'll just take a moment. So Paul kept the Day of Atonement. Many people have infirmities, and it's important to pray for them for their afflictions and infirmities. Sometimes those very, very close to us, sometimes it might be those we don't know anything about. It could be someone in the Israeli army, a military person of some sort. It could be in the government or a rabbi or someone. You know, we need to pray for them, especially during this Day of Atonement, and that Yahweh will free them from the bondage and be free in the liberty and walking in the Word, being empowered by the Ruach HaKadosh. So many afflictions are the righteous, but Yahweh will deliver them, deliver us from all of that. Sometimes it's hard to think that we could be so physically or mentally afflicted. But when we obey the command to fast on the Day of Atonement, and we don't bother with eating or drinking, we have a lot more time to, and our eyes and our mind are more alert. We feel much better and have more mental alertness. So, first Leviticus, chapter 23, the command here, the imperative, and it's in chapter 23, verse 27, that reading here from the King James and changing the corrupted words back to their original that's from the text. In other words, changing Lord to Yahweh, and a couple of other words, about 40 other words needed to be changed, was all that there was. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a pure convocation. Now there's where I forgot to change that one word there, that common word of holy. It's been proven that we shouldn't be using it, so it could be the Hebrew word kodesh, or in other words, to be separate or pure. And it shall be a separate convocation unto you, and you'll afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And you shall do no work in that day, in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh, your mighty one. Of course, Yahweh has made our atonement for us now. And it shall be, in verse 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. Afflicting can mean fasting, and for those who have a medical alibi, then perhaps not. Now, I found myself trying to find an alibi. I thought, well, maybe for this medical dispensation here, maybe I could have some water or something, you know. Well, it wasn't big enough of an alibi to make that exception for me. So we don't want to create little alibis out of our own imagination, out of our own heart, that aren't real ones, that aren't real problems. But if you do have a great problem, you're in a hospital bed today, well, don't worry about that part of the law. You can still fast in one way or another. Maybe, could I suggest fasting spiritually? Try to think of not eating anything, even though they're feeding you intravenously with something. But anyway, to go on to verse 32 now, sorry about that break. It shall be a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth month of the ninth day of the month at even. Actually, the word day was inserted. The ninth of the month at even. From even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbaths. We're celebrating today. I'm praying for all believers who are afflicted and who will be afflicted by a future opponent. On the Day of Atonement, we intercede for the people of Israel, for the people, the government, the religious and military people of Israel, and all over the world we must pray for the tribe of Judah and the northern house of Israel, which includes all of you. Here's we could go to James. I think we better go to Yaakov chapter 4. I'm going to get back to that mark there, that passage there I talked about of a mitzvah on the Sabbath, keeping the commandment. Messiah never broke the commandment. But humble yourselves is the theme of this. In James chapter 4, we talked about afflicting or humbling our souls. So here it is in James 4:10. Well, you've got your application there, your app or your page turned. Here we go. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Then Isaiah 58. Yeah, that's coming. Yes, certainly. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For Yahweh the Eternal resists the proud and gives unmerited favor to the humble. Grace or unmerited favor. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh the Eternal, that he may exalt you in due time. Please capitalize your pronouns there. If you have copies, that they sometimes use the lowercase for the pronoun referring to Yahweh the Eternal, and it should be the uppercase with a great big capital H. He, or the great I Am, Messiah. Isaiah 58, reading a portion of that for you, cry aloud, spare not, lifting up the voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. The house of Jacob, show them their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation they did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of Yahweh. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to Yahweh. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you have found pleasure and exact all of your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Well, I sure hope not. And you shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Or is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to Yahweh? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own brethren or flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The esteem of Yahweh shall be thy reward, or re-reward. Then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they shall not be of thee that shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. There you go. And thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot to the Sabbath from doing thy pleasure on my separated day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a pure day of Yahweh, honorable, thou shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways, not finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. Then thou shalt delight thyself in Yahweh. I'll cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will enable you, or coax you, to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Praise Yahweh. That was Isaiah 58. And then we'll go to Mark now, while I keep changing some of the corrupted words here. And your text there it is, made only two replacements, it said. Okay, Mark 11, and then we'll go back to chapter 3, okay. Messiah taught, saying unto them, it is not written, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. The scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. And 21, Peter calling to remembrance, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed us. Cursed is withered away. And Yahusha saying, or Messiah said unto them, Have faith in the eternal, for verily I say unto thee, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, according to the scriptures rather, believes things which he says, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, that what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, he's not talking about power of positive confession, or the word faith movement, or name it and claim it here. But he is speaking of that, we don't want to do the opposite. We don't want to doubt after we have prayed. I know that when my wife was in danger, my first wife was pregnant, and back in the 80s, the elders came over and prayed for her, and then before they walked out, the little short guy walked over and said, Oh, sorry, honey, to see us. Feeling so badly here. I thought, well, where was his faith? Why did he come over and pray for her to be healed? So I called the ladies, and they came over and prayed, and then my wife recovered. So at that time, Yahweh listened to the female, I think, because maybe they were a little more real about it. They understood that Yahweh was going to answer that prayer. And they had a little bit more hope that the prayer would be answered. Okay. But there's a little section in here that says, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So that's not the only condition in receiving answered prayer. We have to, first of all, call on him in humbleness and to be in the right position. We can't be in such depth of sin and expect him to bless us and give us a new Cadillac. And at this moment, the evil one is presenting arguments to do away with Yahweh's word. And even in the most intellectual, scholastic circles and assemblies, even some Hebraic And we here are we're a new covenant messianic assembly, and we believe in Yahweh's word, and the only son of Yahweh who died for our sins. But we do have some close friends who are attempting to dissuade us from belief in the Messiah. But it won't work. Yahweh is to be esteemed, praised, trusted, believed, and honored, and that the word is sovereign to us. The word of Yahweh, it was sovereign to us. It wasn't to be taken, esteemed lightly, but he is to be praised, exalted, and esteemed even above his only, Yahweh is to be praised even above his only begotten Son. Oh, think about that. So we read the prayer of Yahweh, but we're going to, or how to pray. We're going also back to chapter 3 now, that on the Sabbath day, Mark, in Marcus chapter 3, Messiah entered the synagogue, and a man with a withered hand, reading here from the Tree of Life version, a man with a withered hand was there. Now some were carefully watching him to see if he would heal them on the Sabbath day, because they had these little Talmudic laws that prohibited healing on the Sabbath day, which is antithetical to what the Word commands us to do, that we are supposed to heal people on the Sabbath day. But apparently they hadn't read it. They trusted more. They didn't believe in the sovereignty of the Word. They trusted in their own man-made writings to the oral, the Talmud. So to see if they would heal him on the Sabbath so they might accuse him. So he said to the man with the withered hand, stand up here in the center. And he said to them, is it permitted on Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to murder? But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved by their hardness of heart, he says to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out right away, but the Herodians began plotting against him, how they might destroy him. But we are not letting anyone destroy our faith and belief in the Word, and belief that Yahweh wants to keep it in us, keep his faith strong and deep and living in our spirits. If we keep the Sabbath, that in a way might distinguish us from other brethren who do not keep the Sabbath, but switching one day Sunday for another day Sabbath may not make us any different at all. So we have to be careful about this, of thinking that we are more religious or in some way that we are perfect. We'll never get there, but we are striving to be perfect, closer and closer to obedience of Yahweh's word, and how we love his word today, how we love the Savior, and how he has given us the Ruach HaKadosh to obey him. And so we keep his feast days in honor of him, in obedience. And we do believe in the law, in tithing. And we want to live a Yahweh life, a life in Yahweh. So read Hosea chapter 2 for 11. That'll be your assignment for tonight. Hosea 2 through 11, or in the next couple of weeks. Hosea 2 through 11, please. 1 through, just read all of Hosea, would you? Okay, and then Hosea chapter 9, I'm going to read here chapter 9 verse 5 about the feast of Yahweh, this fasting day and so forth. And Memphis is Moph, M-O-P-H. What will you do in the solemn day, in the day of the feast of Yahweh? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. Verse 7, the days of visitation are come, when Yahweh will allow our enemies to, quote, visit us. And it won't be a friendly visit. So if we don't repent of our national sins of immorality, war and destruction can visit us. And some of the past elections will show our tendency to vote for those who are going to give us free bread for the populace and free medical for everybody. In doing that, then they want to compromise and put us into bondage, and to vote for such sexually immoral politicians. That vicious cycle is the result, the cycle of bondage, with more wars, more troubles coming, more affliction, adding more immorality and corrupt politics to our civil human structure, further bondage coming. And then, well, I'll work longer. I'll make more money, and that way I can, you know, get more lawyers. Now, I might say that as a Band-Aid, but there is no Band-Aid over our festering spiritual wound. Nothing will cure our moral and economic problems except for repentance. The gospel is this, that we are to repent from all unyavalikeness, all breaking of his laws, that we are to trust in his unmerited favor and Yahweh's benefits, the unmerited favor, commonly called grace. We are to fast and walk after Yahweh to keep his word, as Hosea tells us. What will you do in the solemn day, in the day of the feast of Yahweh? And we read the book of the Revelation, that certain reckoning will come, a physical reckoning, even that battle of Armageddon, which could be right around the corner, especially if you're in the year 2000s listening to this. We're very, very close, as we reckon. We could be wrong or off by a long, long time, but probably not, coming up to the 7,000 millennial rest year. We're looking forward to the second coming of Yahweh, and also rejoicing that wars and rumors of wars are happening all around us. People are sometimes getting closer to Yahweh, but also the ones on the other side of the fence are getting more and more corrupt and more sexually immoral. There, of course, it goes without saying. Don't say that, right? Hosea chapter 11 now. Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel, that's the northern tribe, not strictly just the house of Judah, the house of Israel compassed me about with deceit. But Yehuda yet ruleth with Yahweh, and is faithful with the saints. Even having said all that, Yehuda is going to be the ruler and faithful, and they will teach us the law from Zion. Hosea chapter 11, verse 12. So, and in the matter of keeping the feast days, there's a number of discrepancies, but there's also misunderstandings. There's a reckoning of the new moon, which you would think would be a new moon, would be something that you could, that would be light enough for you to see, and it wouldn't go away for a couple of days. Some keep the new moon when the new moon disappears at the end of the month. Some keep it through the conjunction, reckoning that as being a new moon, when there is no light at all to see, and some when the crescent of the new moon reappears.
And like the menorah, we both love Yeshua. So let's make Teshuva the Torah, menorah, Yeshua, Teshuva. When we learn to speak, it's true. Here the light will be in this room. You say Yeshua, and I say Yahusha. You say Yehovah, and I say Yahuwah. Yeshua, Yahusha, Yehovah, Yahuwah. Either way, I love you. Oh, and you say conjunction, and I say the crescent. You say it's Hillel, and I say it's barley. Conjunction, the crescent, it's Hillel, it's barley. Either way, I love you. And oh, it will let us brew our mood.
So, pick one of those. We're not going to judge you. Let no man judge you in eating or drinking, or in any facet of the feast day. The calendar, kept by the first new moon after the spring equinox, by the first sliver of the moon, is not one of the most popular methods, but whoever first kept it that way, or whoever keeps it that way now, is not of any significance. This is the way we've been keeping the moon, but there are brethren who do not. Brethren who have greater of a speaker that we might have here. So we want to go hear this brother, or go to this other feast that might be a month earlier. They might be keeping it because the new moon in spring, or Passover time, the new moon that determined the new year, and the Aviv of barley, they might be keeping it because of that, the Aviv barley, and the moon closest to the spring equinox. Now, don't let me lose you here in all this technicality about equinox and jumping around the on the calendar. Just either slide ahead or just stand by, okay? But we're keeping the feasts because of the equinox method of the first sliver of the moon after the equinox, the spring equinox. And we're keeping the feast because of that new year and new moon. And some are keeping it maybe a day or two earlier or even a month earlier. Okay, but anyways, there's hardly any instruction to be found. Exodus chapter 10, he begins that passage there telling us about keeping the new moon, but he doesn't say which one of these methods are to be kept. There's no secret Levitical laws. After all the intricate instructions that are given in Scripture about even right down to the doorknob of the tabernacle of, how everything is supposed to be, they wouldn't have left out, or rather Father Yahweh wouldn't have left out any of the details on things. He wouldn't have given some secret instruction about such an important thing that we're supposed to trust. Oh, this person or that or which group, I don't know. We're going to follow them or follow that. I wouldn't follow anybody. But as you read the Scripture or get together with brethren that can help a little bit, but you're going to have to decide for yourself on this. And a great prayer and study. And so whether it's the heads of barley for Hebrew believers who watch for the Aviv heads of barley in Exodus chapter 12, the Passover in Egypt, not Israel. So the barley crop there technically should, and rightly so, if that were the method, that it would be monitored in Egypt or Mitzrayim, but there is no precedent for traveling to Egypt or to Israel to see the heads of grain. There's no precedent for seeing the Aviv barley. The Apostle Paul, the emissaries, the apostles, didn't make a pilgrimage each year to examine the heads of barley or grain. Moses did not, Messiah did not, nobody during Messiah's time, during the accounts given in the Gospels there and the Evangels, to examine heads of barley. There's no precedent for it. And the Scripture is clear to the finest detail on all the instructions, including the testimony and the building of the tabernacle. But having said that, many groups have other good information on other subjects, which we can glean from. I've even quoted from some of the Sunday keepers. I sometimes quote from Pastor Paul of Torrance, California, there at that church there. So if we attend the early feast days with these Aviv people to hear their presentation and their speaker, but a month later we conduct our own appointed feasts on what we believe is the proper calendar, we don't consider it to be sin or sinful for them to keep it a month earlier or for us to keep it a month later. John 7:24, the Messiah said to judge righteous judgment. And in Colossians 2, it says, let no man judge you therefore in eating or in drinking, or in respect of a new moon, a Sabbath, or feasts, a Sabbath day or feast days, which are a shadow of things to come, not which were a shadow, not a foreshadow, not a back shadow, or anything, no, a shadow of things to come. So I guess it wouldn't be a foreshadow. But let the body of Messiah, those who have studied the Scriptures, let them judge those matters. Colossians 2, verse 16, talking about those who keep the feast, not those who don't keep it. Because the popular belief on that, or interpretation, the popular Protestant interpretation is to say, well, I'm not keeping the feasts, I'm not keeping the Sabbath or the new moons, so don't let anybody judge me for not keeping them. No, it's about keeping, not about not keeping. And I know I made that fairly clear, but more can be said on it, but it's truthful. If you start out at the beginning, at the foundation of Scripture, and go all the way through the book of the Revelation and consider that prophecy and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all the minor prophets, so-called, are often speaking of prophetic times to come, and they speak of the Sabbath in a uplifting manner, in a detailed, truthful manner about the Sabbath are things to come, such as Zechariah chapter 14. We're going to be keeping the feast in the millennium, and then, I don't know about after that, but it's a Sabbath of delight today that we keep. And we're turning our foot away from all secular things and business on the Day of Atonement. And it says, turning your foot away from the Sabbath. Actually, you're turning your foot toward the Sabbath. And from doing thy pleasure. The word from was added, but from doing thy pleasure on my pure days. This is that passage again in Isaiah 58. and calling it a delight, the pure places of Yahweh, honorable and honoring him, not doing thy own ways, not finding thy own pleasure, but speaking not your own words, but speaking spiritual things about Yahweh and about his kingdom, his law, not about hunting and what kind of a car you got or automatic, this or that, a weapon of some, I don't call them weapons, they're tools. We don't talk about hunting during these important feast days. Hopefully, if somebody happens to mention it, we're not going to say, Ichabod, Ichabod, or unclean, unclean. We're not going to declare that that person is a deep sinner now. They may not even realize that we have to be more, now what is that word? I can't think of it. It keeps coming up. We have to be more serious about things than to just talk about any old trivial thing that comes to our mind, okay? We don't talk about what we saw on Kojak on television last night. I know that takes you way back, doesn't it? But anyway, 58:14 of Yeshayahu or Isaiah says, "Then thou shalt delight thyself in Yahweh." Delight. Here we are fasting and afflicting. I thought we were supposed to be crying our eyes out. No, we can delight in Yahweh. And he said, "I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee in the heritage of Jacob, thy father. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken it." Brethren, we're looking forward to great times with Yahweh, especially that Feast of Tabernacles to wind up things for a little while until Hanukkah and Purim and, of course, Passover at the beginning of next year on the 14th day of Aviv. The 14th day of the first month of next year will be that great memorial supper to Yahweh, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. After that, a couple of months later, is the Feast of Sukkot. Shavuot, and then and this is Sukkot coming up, the Feast of Dwelling in Booths, and it's going to be an eye opener. It's going to be a very new thing to some people, and meeting new people and all that. Well. And there'll be a few inconveniences, hopefully. Hopefully there'll be great, very fine appointments for you wherever you go. Don't spend a whole lot of money on hotel rooms or fancy rooms in Las Vegas or something. We're going to have a humble gathering in Oregon. And even if this first group that we're going to in near Portland area, if that didn't work out too well, whether it does or not, we're going to be keeping that second feast, that later feast, together. So if you're serious, and you, there I found that word, serious, if you're serious, not too serious, but in that you wouldn't be a real, we don't want you to be real legalistic or manipulative or condemning toward others who don't do it our way or your way, but if you're open and open to Yahweh's Spirit speaking to you and open to his word, and come join us. We'll be there in Oregon in the mountains, and there'll be some cabins there too, but enjoyable place to be, and eating and drinking, as the Colossians 2 says, but also in talking about that second coming. Let's see how much time. Okay, we're about there. Almost up in 1 hour now, so but the second coming of Yahweh and the Battle of Armageddon and so on. We read through the book of the Revelation, Isaiah 66. We read through Hosea and just so many encouraging scriptures. We'll encourage one another at the Feast of Sukkot or Feast of Tabernacles. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Stephan Yah. That's Stephan Yah with a T. T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H at YahvehYahweh.name. Have a wonderful eternity. Praise Yahweh. Praise him. Exalt him in the heavens most high. Hallel Yahweh.
Speaking.